Welcome to Verse by Verse, an English Bible study program that takes you through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. I'm your host, Brenton Powers. I believe that every word of every verse of the Bible is inspired by God. I believe that the Word of God is useful for equipping the people of God for the work of God.
To the jungles, to the mountains, to the valleys and the sea, let's declare redemption's story and its soon returning King. To the ends of all the earth and everywhere and in between, we must go. We must go. We must go.
Today we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study of the Bible. Let's turn our Bibles to the letter of Jude. Today we'll be looking at verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed. We notice in verse 3, he says, Beloved. That means those who I love. I love you. And that's always good to preface a letter, especially a hard message. Preface it with love. Say, I'm saying this to you because I love you. Our goal is to understand what the original author, Jude, wanted to say to his audience and what the Holy Spirit wanted to say through Jude to us today. See, whenever someone teaches the Bible, if they have a different purpose than the Bible's purpose, then the teaching is going to be off. But if we can make the purpose of the author of the Bible our purpose, as we teach, we will teach correctly. And in context, we're given the purpose of this letter in verse 3, which I'll read again. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And so as he was wanting to write to them, he had a purpose in mind, what he wanted to write about. But then he found out that he needed to change the direction of his letter as the Holy Spirit inspired him. He was really trying to write under this topic, our common salvation. And what does that mean, our common salvation? It means what we have in common as Christians is salvation. We're all saved. That's what he wanted to say. But as he thought about his audience, the Christians that are spread out throughout all the world that would be receiving this letter, and he thought about who might be among them, he found it necessary to kind of change the direction of his letter from saying, we're all saved and isn't it wonderful, to warning those who were saved about those among them who were not saved. As we read, he says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed. And so it started out being a very encouraging letter. And of course, that's his heart for us, is to encourage us. But there's a problem, and this problem needs to be addressed. The problem is not everyone that goes to church is saved. Not everyone among us really is a saint or a Christian. And so we can't say just to a large audience of people, isn't it great that we're all saved? Because there's people there that are not saved. And if we tell them that they're saved, they'll get a false assurance of their salvation. And so we will be doing them a disservice by saying, isn't it great that you're saved? And they may think, oh, okay, I'm saved. I don't need to, you know, believe in Jesus. I don't need to do anything like follow Jesus or really agree with Christians. I'm saved. Everyone's saved. But that's not true to say that everybody in the world will be saved. Well, saved from what? What are we talking about when we talk about salvation? Well, that implies we need to be saved from something. And as the gospel is preached, we need to proclaim what we're saved from. We're saved from sin and from the wages of sin, which is death and eternal separation from God. And we're saved for something as well. We're not only saved from hell, we're saved for heaven. We're not just saved from sin, we're saved for righteousness. We're not just saved from the world and its ways, we're saved for God's will and His ways. And so this salvation, it changes your life, and there should be a change in anyone who professes that they're saved. You should be able to see some fruit. But if someone is saved, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And so I encourage you, listeners, to examine the fruit in your life. Do you have fruit of salvation? And Jude knew that there were certain people who were not saved mixed in with the saved people. And so he wanted those who were saved to contend for the faith. So this becomes the main theme of the letter, an appeal to contend for the faith. It's an encouragement to contend for the faith. What does that mean, contend for the faith? Contend means to fight for something, to wage war and to battle, to argue a position. Now, we're not talking about a physical fight. As the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's the spiritual forces in the world. And in our culture today, there's a culture war going on. There's a battle for truth. It's been called the cosmic battle. Jude says to contend for something. Not only are Christians supposed to contend against the evils in society and the lies in the world, we should be known primarily by what we are for. We are for Jesus. We're for the faith. We're for the Bible. We're for creation, not just against evolution and against abortion. We're pro-life, not just we're against death. We're for life. And Jude says what we should contend for is the faith. He doesn't say contend for faith. He says contend for the faith. The one true faith is the Christian faith. The content of what we believe, in other words, the doctrines of Christianity that are essential for salvation. And as we go through the letter of Jude, Jude will tell us what are the essential things that we must believe to be a Christian and to be saved. And if they're essential for salvation, and if somebody denies those things, then by definition, they're not a Christian. They're not saved. And so Jude is saying, you know, we as true Christians are saved, but let me define what a true Christian is. It's someone who believes in the faith that Jesus taught, that the apostles taught, that the prophets of the Old Testament taught. There's one faith from the Old Testament and New Testament, one story, one meta-story. It's all about Jesus. And Jude calls it the faith. Now, you may ask the question, I get asked this question a lot on the streets when we share the gospel. Well, what about other faiths? What about Muslims or Buddhists or Hare Krishnas or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons? What about those faiths? Well, those faiths are not Christian faiths. And so if there's one true faith, then by definition, that would be a false faith. So Jude is saying, let's contend for the truth because a lot is at stake here. Salvation is at stake. And Christians need to stand up to preach the true gospel, to preach the truth of the scriptures, to preach the true Jesus. That's what we're for. Which faith was once for all delivered to the saints? Well, it's the gospel message. That's what was delivered. When Jesus Christ came, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. And that same gospel is the gospel that the apostles preached and that I want to preach today, that I believe I'm preaching the gospel according to the scriptures. But of course, you should be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. They searched the scriptures to see if it was so. The scriptures are our authority about what the faith is. So if you want to know what the faith is, well, it's the Bible. That's what we put our faith in. And that's what defines what the faith is. Not the ecumenical creeds, not traditions of our denomination. That may be part of the faith. There's different denominations within Christianity. But when a denomination denies the essentials of the faith, they no longer are within Christian orthodoxy or sound teaching. A survey was done of 700 denominational preachers in America. 48% of them said they didn't believe in complete inspiration of the Bible. 24% do not believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ. 12% of preachers in denominational churches in America reject the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. 27% do not believe Christ will return. This is terrible. You cannot be saved unless you believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 1 out of 8 teachers reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ's body from the dead. My friends, We have non-believers teaching the church. How did this happen? This happened because we did not take Jude's exhortation seriously to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. One other shocking statistic is from Bill Bright. He said only 2% of Christians regularly share their faith. No wonder the church is in decline, and many people, especially young people, are leaving the church because we're not standing up for what we ought to believe as a church. And so is your faith biblical? Is your faith the same faith that was delivered to the saints? Or are you like the Mormons who said, oh, the true Christian faith was lost and we just sort of, you know, pray for some revelation of something new to be confirmed to us and, you know, it's something new. Well, let me say, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. The truth does not change. The faith was once and for all delivered to the saints. It wasn't delivered once and then delivered a second time to another people in a different way and with a different savior or a different standard. There's one faith that was laid down for all time. That's the Bible. As Jesus preached to the apostles and sent them out, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the faith that the apostles preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said to the Galatians something interesting. Galatians 1, 6, 7, and 8. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. They received the gospel from Paul the Apostle, and if anyone preached a gospel contrary to the one that Paul preached, Paul says, let him be accursed. That means condemned, anathema in Greek. That's not saved, my brothers and sisters. Salvation is contingent upon believing the true gospel. And if you go astray from the gospel, if you believe a false gospel, I'm sorry to say that you're not saved, but you can be saved. If you turn to Jesus Christ, trusting in his grace before you die, trusting that his blood on the cross was shed for you so that you can stand before God guiltless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Jude will conclude his letter that way. And so, looking at the letter of Jude in context, we see after Jude introduces himself, he gives the purpose of the letter, and that is to encourage us to contend for the faith. When I was younger, I just assumed that everyone in the church was saved. I thought, isn't this great? You know, I'm going to church now. I love Jesus, and there's all these people around me, and they love Jesus too. But then you start talking to people and finding out that they're not all in agreement with what the Bible says. Some people are there for different reasons. The following verses will explain why we need to contend for the faith. Maybe we don't want to contend for the faith. I just want to be comfortable in my Christian bubble, in my group of Christian friends, and we don't really want to face those who believe other things. But you know, brothers and sisters, we're called to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And we're called to live in the world, not to be of the world, but to be in the world. And you know, sometimes the world will come into the church. And when that happens, we need to contend for what the church is all about. What I want you to understand here is the theme of the whole letter is contend for the faith. And so whether you want to or not, you need to.
To the jungles, to the mountains, to the valleys and the sea, let's declare redemption's story and its in-returning king. To the ends of all the earth and everywhere and in between, we must go. We must go. We must go.
Thank you for listening to Verse by Verse. I'm Brenton Powers, pastor of Calvary, Latvia. Our homepage is www.calvary.lv, calvary.lv. Our Latvian webpage is www.bibelestudias.lv. Please tune in next week as we continue to study God's Word verse by verse. and see the reason why we should contend for the faith.